We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in turn on the news, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in turn on the news each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
These are dangerous times.
We'll have up-to-the-minute cartoon coverage of the biggest stories, like which convicted January 6th rioters are in jail and which won their primaries.
Faster than a speeding bullet.
I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay?
More powerful than a locomotive.
We're starting to see light at the end of the tunnel.
Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
40 Wall Street actually was the second tallest building in downtown Manhattan. And it was actually, before the World Trade Center, was the tallest. And then when they built the World Trade Center, it became known as the second tallest, and now it's the tallest.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's
Donald Drumpf.
Yes, it's
Donald Drumpf.
Strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men.
Donald Drumpf.
Who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as
Donald
Trump,
mild-mannered
president,
fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. And now, another exciting episode in the adventures of
Donald Trump.
Maggie Haberman's book about Donald Trump comes out. It's called Confidence Man, which is the formal way of saying con man. Don't tell Trump. He did three interviews for the book, which he's already calling fake news. This is what he does. For almost every one of these books, he's tell-all books. He sits for an interview. Then the book comes out, and then he calls the author a liar. And then the same author writes their next book about him. He sits for an interview again and calls him a liar again. But he loves the attention so much, he can't resist doing the interview. So remember a couple years ago, after Typhoid Donnie was discharged from the hospital for COVID, when he had COVID, he said he wanted to open up his shirt like Clark Kent to reveal the Superman as. Well, according to Haberman's book, he didn't just mean that figuratively. While he was in the hospital, he sent an aide, a guy named Max Miller, to the store to buy a Superman shirt for him. Unfortunately, they couldn't find underoos in a size triple XL, which is a shame. I mean, can you imagine him coming out of that hospital, squeezed into the super, like Kal-El Pollo Loco or something? According to Haberman, the plan was Trump would be wheeled out of Walter Reed Hospital in a chair, and once outdoors, he would dramatically stand up, open his button-down dress shirt to reveal a Superman logo.
I am Superman, and I can do anything.
If I was on the committee investigating the coup attempt on January 6th, I'm not sure
where I'd land on the question of whether to subpoena.
Former President, the great Grabsby.
I mean, on the one hand, it would be great to get him under oath on camera so you can make him answer questions in front of the American public under the threat of perjury.
Somebody ought to testify.
Hey! On the other hand, he's not gonna answer questions under threat of perjury. Putting Trump on the stand is as good an idea as putting a chimpanzee in a school play. He's not gonna stick to the script. Yeah, the beginning was fun when the monkey came out in a costume, but then it got weird and scary. Trump can't even answer softball questions from his friends on Fox News without going off on deranged tangents. Here's a quick highlight reel from a softball interview he did with Sean Hannity last week. And I should note, none of the answers here had anything to do with the questions that preceded them.
You could go all over Hollywood and try and get somebody to play the role of President Xi, the president of China. There is no actor like that. There's nobody like that. The media said, why does he call this person? I call this person because that's where the action is. Letitia James, she had to focus on murder and crime in New York, where they walk into stores with axes and they start swinging the axes at people. They wanted to rip down all the statues in this country, including the Jefferson Memorial, the Lincoln Memorial. I mean, it's not even believable.
No, it's not. You want us to believe protesters were gonna try to tear down the Lincoln Memorial? Seems like that's the most topple-proof statue we got. Also, what the hell is Trump talking about when he says people in New York City are swinging axes? Did he accidentally watch House of Dragon and think it was the news? Have you seen what's happening in New York City? People are wearing gold cloaks. They're having sword fights. They put a ponytail on Doctor Who. It's so sad. Doctor Who, I would never, in a million years, Doctor Who. I saw that. I said, Doctor what? And they have New York City has a major dragon problem. Letitia James, you know, she's, they should be doing something about the dragons.
Can you imagine that guy sitting down for a televised congressional hearing? It would take days. The networks would have to preempt all their programming just so Trump could ramble about statues or axe murders or windmills or toilets that don't flush. Although, it would be nice to get him under oath about the toilets he's always talking about. Mr. President, you have repeatedly said you have to flush toilets 10 times, 15 times because of the lack of water pressure. Is that actually true?
Yes.
Is it possible, sir, that rather than being the toilet's fault, they are in fact not designed to flush letters from dictators and manila envelopes full of state secrets?
I would like to plead the fifth.
So there are still some key decisions remaining for the January 6th committee to make. But what they've already discovered has been shocking, and there's apparently more to come. For example, one of the central characters in the next hearing was supposed to have been Trump ally Roger Stone, and now we have damning new documentary footage of Stone openly discussing plans for a violent coup before the 2020 election. Stone laid out in detail months before the election how the Trump team would refuse to accept the results, claim the election was stolen, use the courts to overturn the results, and even throw out the real electors who showed up the Electoral College count on January 6th and replace them with phony Trump electors.
What they're assuming is that the election will be normal. The election will not be normal. Oh, these are the California results? Sorry, we're not accepting them. We're challenging them in court. If the electors show up at the Electoral College, armed guards will throw them out. I'm the president. You're not stealing Florida. You're not stealing Ohio. I'm challenging all of it. And the judges we're going to are judges I appointed. You're not stealing the election.
Why do these guys all explain their criminal schemes out loud in highly specific details before they do them? I want to make sure there's a camera here before I start. They're like Bond villains spelling out exactly how they're going to kill him right before he slips out of his handcuff. Did Stone get tips on being a bad guy from Christoph Waltz? You see, James, you will have your hands tied to this chain from where you will dangle above a pool of sharks while I hack into the Bank of England and, oh, wait, he's gone.
It's not dark yet, but it's getting late.
But as insane and incriminating as all of this is, nothing is more head-scratching to me than Stone's response to the release of the documentary footage. He claims the footage is manipulated and bizarrely compared himself to Kim Kardashian.
Roger Stone has issued a lengthy statement disputing the authenticity of all of them, saying this: I challenge the accuracy and the authenticity of these videos and believe they have been manipulated and selectively edited. I also point out that the filmmakers do not have the legal right to use them. How ironic that Kim Kardashian and I are both subjected to computer-manipulated videos on the same day.
I'd say you have more in common with Alanis Morissette, since neither you seem to understand the definition of ironic. Seriously, what the hell is he talking? Did someone manipulate a video of Kim Kardashian to make it look like she was planning a coup when we all know that would totally be a Khloe move? Also, when a Kardashian plots a coup, do you think they spell coup with a K? I think maybe. But here's the thing. Stone's call to violence wasn't just idle chatter. In addition to his friendship with Trump, he's also had ties to right-wing militia groups like the Oath Keepers, whose members are on trial right now for seditious conspiracy. A few weeks ago, the January 6th committee even released real-time audio they'd obtained of Oath Keepers communicating during the insurrection using a walkie-talkie app. Some of the members you'll hear in this clip were there in person, while others were watching on television and relaying what they were seeing. And specifically, they discussed one of Trump's tweets during the attack, which they interpreted as essentially giving them permission to go after members of Congress. Also, I would like to note that as menacing as they sound, they are also clearly giant dick.
CNN just said that they evacuated all members of Congress into a safety room.
There's no safe place in the United States for any of these mother right now, let me tell you.
I hope they understand that we are not joking around.
Trump just tweeted, please support our Capitol Police. They are on our side. Do not harm them.
That's saying a lot by what he didn't say. He didn't say not to do anything to the congressman.
Well, he did not ask him to stand down. He just said, stand by the Capitol Police. They are on our side and they are good people. So it's getting real down there. I got it on TV and it's looking pretty friggin' radical to me. CNN said that Trump has egged this on, that he is egging it on, and that he is watching the country burn 2 weeks before he leaves office. He is not leaving office. I don't give a what they say.
Wow, I can't believe the doofus sitting at home watching TV with a walkie-talkie turned out to be wrong. Also, who's the lazy ass who pulled the cushy assignment to sit home and watch the insurrection on TV? Well, everyone else had to actually go out there and do the rioting. Good luck, guys. Looking pretty friggin' radical down there. Okay, they're going to commercial. Oh, it's Magnum. Oh, yeah. I got Magnum on my TV right now. He's saying something about a reverse mortgage, and it's making a lot of sense to me, guys. It's making a lot of sense to me what he's saying. We should be able to take the money out of our own houses. I'm going to write down this phone number so you all have it. Also, here's the most shocking part to me about that clip.
CNN said that Trump has egged this on.
A pro-Trump militia member was watching CNN? I thought they were fake news. Way to betray the MAGA movement, dude. Was he also secretly home drinking chamomile while wearing Birkenstocks and charging his Prius? Seriously, why weren't you watching Fox? If you're a pro-Trump rioter, you gotta be watching Fox because...
That's where the action is.
These guys all spelled out in highly specific detail what they were planning on doing. They admitted it on camera into a microphone over and over and over again. If you plotted a graph with how many crimes they committed over time, the line would go straight up along the Y.
Axes.
It's not dark yet, but it's getting there.
The former president was having dinner with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi when he turned to their non-white staffers and said, why don't you get the food? Again, that is just awful. But to be fair, that's what he says in every situation. Sir, North Korea has launched a long-range missile test. What are your orders? Uh-huh. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, that's 2 10-piece family buckets. Tell them to fill the gravy to the top this time. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, not surprisingly, the former president also had bad things to say about women. He reportedly referred to German Chancellor Angela Merkel as that B. Wow! He knew the German word for chancellor is Bundeskanzlerin? That's impressive.
Wow.
Here, This whole time, I thought he was an ignorant little bitch.
His Majesty made a rally stop in Warren, Michigan over the weekend, where for a two-third capacity crowd, he once again painted a Norman Rockwell-esque portrait of this country he loved so much.
We are a nation where large packs of criminals and thieves are allowed to go into stores and openly rob them, beat up the help, and kill people. They will kill people, and they kill them at will, if necessary, and even if not necessary.
What?
And there is no retribution. We are a nation whose once revered airports are a dirty, crowded mess where you sit and wait for hours and then are notified that the plane won't leave. And they have no idea when they will.
This is a man who hasn't been to an airport, a public airport, in probably his whole life. I mean, seriously, he has no idea what goes on. Donald Trump thinks a Cinnabon is where Jewish people go on Yom Kippur to pray.
Happening today here in Washington, Ginny Thomas, the wife of the Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, is meeting with the January 6th committee.
We know that members want to talk to her about text messages she exchanged with Mark Meadows, the former White House chief of staff, about efforts to overturn the election.
She also texted with Trump's then chief of staff, Mark Meadows, after the election, pressing him not to concede to Joe Biden.
That's right. Ginny Thomas, the wife of Justice Clarence Thomas, was texting Donald Trump's chief of staff, urging him not to concede. I feel like that's not what the framers had in mind when they imagined separate but equal branches of government. I'm just guessing here, but I'm going to assume Martha Washington wasn't writing secret letters by candlelight to the first chief justice, John Jay, history fact. I'm guessing she wasn't writing him letters on parchment that said John Adams is a moron, don't let him win the election of 1796, or they'll make a miniseries about him one day starring Paul Giamatti. Yeah, the guy from Billions. I'm no legal expert, but I feel like if you're the spouse of a sitting Supreme Court justice, you shouldn't be texting anyone in the government about anything, let alone a coup. And by the way, those clips are underselling what Ginny was actually doing. She wasn't just texting Trump's chief of staff and urging Trump not to concede. She had direct communications with state lawmakers in Arizona and Wisconsin, pressuring them, again, as the spouse of a sitting Supreme Court justice, to overturn Biden's victory. And she was also texting some truly bad conspiracy theories from the craziest corners of the internet. Stuff I had honestly never even heard about until the Ginny Thomas story broke.
The Washington Post obtained copies of messages that had been turned over to the January 6th committee, revealing that Ginny Thomas sent former Trump Chief of Staff Mark Meadows a barrage of texts in the weeks after the 2020 election, urging him to try to overturn the results. She referred to wild far-right conspiracy theories, sending Meadows a link to an absolutely just insane YouTube video that's since been taken down, which was centered around a fake QAnon conspiracy theory. After she texted that video to Meadows, Thomas added, quote, "I hope this is true."
Right after the election, she quoted to Meadows the language then circulating on pro-Trump sites, quote, "Biden crime family and ballot fraud co-conspirators, elected officials, bureaucrats, social media censorship mongers, fake stream media reporters, etc., are being arrested and detained for ballot fraud right now and over coming days, and will be living in barges off Gitmo to face military tribunals for sedition," adding, "I hope this is true."
You know, it almost makes me feel bad for Clarence Thomas. I mean, we all know a couple that has to leave every party early because one spouse decided to pregame with back pills and Everclear, and 20 minutes in, they're loudly describing some foot problem they have. Yeah, it's turning green. It's about to fall off. Now, who wants to dance? But think about how insane that is. Ginny Thomas didn't just think the election was stolen. She thought Joe Biden and the, quote, "Biden crime family" would be arrested and living on barges off Gitmo. And here's my question. Why a barge off Gitmo instead of just Gitmo itself? Let's just assume, for the sake of the argument, that all the crazy she was texting turned out to be true, that Hugo Chavez teamed up with the CIA and Dominion voting machines to rig the election using ballots smuggled in from China covered in bamboo finders. But then Trump caught them by secretly watermarking the real ballots and then conducted a sting operation to arrest the Biden crime family and prove that the election was in fact stolen. Let's just assume for a moment that all of that is true, and whoa, wow, I see why they're into this. What? It's like being on Molly and Mountain Dew at the same time. Whoa! Okay, if all of that is true, why would the military go to all the extra trouble of building a barge off Gitmo when they already have Gitmo? That's what Gitmo is for. Is the assumption that Biden can't swim so he'd never escape? Because he does seem like one of those old dudes who would just strip down and jump in the lake no matter how cold it was. Seriously, why a barge off the prison? Have they ever done that with any other criminal suspect ever? All right, we caught the River City Strangler. Should we put him in Alcatraz? Nah, for a guy that bad, he goes on the Alcatraz catamaran. So Thomas's texts were insane, but in a way they weren't shocking because, as we've said many times before, Trump surrounds himself with a group of people who are, in addition to being very dangerous and deeply corrupt, also just incredibly weird. As a New York City real estate mogul, Trump could have had his pick of sophisticated white-collar criminals. Instead, he assembled a team of mutants who failed their X-Men auditions.
There's Pillow Man. His pillows may be soft, but his voice is loud enough to shatter glass. There's former mayor. He can pull the skin all the way back behind his head. Not sure what good that's gonna do, but it's cool to watch him do it. Then there's Roger, the time-traveling drug dealer. You know, he's the one who gave Sherlock Holmes all that opium. Now,
we'll get to the newest developments involving Trump confidant Roger Stone in a second. But first, let's start with MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell, because, you know, why not? Lindell had his phone seized by the FBI while he was in a Hardee's drive-thru as part of an investigation into a voting machine breach in Colorado that he may have been connected to. And now he's complaining that his new phone has nothing on it because he didn't back up any of the data on his old phone.
I don't use a laptop. I don't use a computer. Everything was on that phone. One of the things that were files on that phone that you can't get through the cloud that were passwords, some of them passwords were so I wire money from different accounts back and forth. And I have to look those passwords up in those files. So I can't get to those, Steve. I can't get anything. I took the number and transferred it from my carrier to another phone, but the phone is blank. It's missing all these things. This phone, like I said, Steve, I would have almost rather they arrested me than took my phone.
I bet he offered that to the FBI and they said no. Just take me with you. No, we're good. Please, everything was on that phone, including my address, so I don't know how to get home without it. Just let me come sleep with you and sleep in jail behind the bars. Also, Mike, every time you defend yourself, you seem to describe a different potential crime you may be committed. Why are you wiring money back and forth between different accounts all the time?
I'm always moving money around in an effort to make it look like I got enough to cover my debts, and now I can't. Things are about to get bad.
For some reason, these doinks are always on camera complaining about something extremely weird, like Rudy, who recently went on his podcast to insist once again that the election was stolen and also complained that no one was inviting him on TV anymore.
Rudy got fell.
They're lying about January 6th. They're trying to make alternate electors look like a crime. There's nothing wrong with it. It was absolutely in the open. There was no fraud attached to it. They want us ignored. They want us put in prison. They want all our property taken from us. They don't want us to be allowed to be employed. And they don't want any television station to put us on. And they say so. And the television stations comply. That's not fascism.
No, it's not. I don't think it's fascism so much as not wanting to scare the children at home. Also, we can go back to this.
They don't want us to be allowed to be employed.
Who's us? They don't want you employed. And you shouldn't be employed. You're 78. You should be retired and enjoying your golden years, just playing golf in your JNCO shorts. And then there's Roger Stone, the fourth horseman of the weirdocalypse. Stone's been a longtime confidant of Donald Trump, and we told you January 6th committee has also obtained damning new footage of Stone explaining the Trump team's plan to steal the election to a documentary film crew. For example, in one clip, he just straight up says, before the results are in, that if the outcome isn't clear right away, the Trump team will just claim victory anyway.
Let's just hope we're celebrating.
Oh,
I suspect it'll be, I really do suspect it'll still be up in the air. But when that happens, the key thing to do is to claim victory. Possession is 9/10 of the law. No, we won. F*** you. Sorry, over. We won. Yeah. You're wrong. F***
you.
Dude thinks he's a criminal mastermind, but he talks like your father-in-law over a game of Pictionary. No, you, we won. Both dangerous and also incredibly pathetic. I mean, seriously, can you imagine these four in a room together? We won. You.
My phone is blank. Oh, I sat on my balls.
Thank you for being here. Ginny Thomas is just the latest example, but she is by no means the only one. Trump's gang and virtually the entirety of the Republican Party have, like, bought into a series of increasingly deranged conspiracy theories, and they were so devoted to those insane theories that they actually took the very real steps to overturn the election, steps they laid out in highly specific detail in text messages and emails or on camera over and over and over again. There are so many different stories. The committee has to interview so many different people so they can go through
different accounts back and forth.
It's not dark yet, but it's getting there.
Right now, and Donald Trump always makes new excuses as to why there were classified documents in Mar-a-Lago.
So we made some signs that cover all the bases. Here you go, giving these away for free.
If you're going in there, there's these signs.
Sometimes he says the documents are planted. Sometimes he says, you know, they're declassified.
So if he says the docs were declassified, you hold up this side. If he says that the docs were planted, you just hold up that side.
You know, you never know which one he's going to go with on any given day.
Right.
He could go with either. And so you want to just be prepared.
He'll feel so good when if you put this up, because it's kind of like reaffirming what he's saying.
Yeah.
So Trump says the docs were planted. What are you going to hold up? Docs were planted. And then docs were declassified. What are you going to hold up?
Okay, docs.
The other side.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.